This right here is one of the main ways you tell a healthy church. If you don't have a bunch of kids running around making noise, leaving messes, you're dead. Just a matter of time, and that just thrills me. Thank you so much, those of you that took part in this in any way, and more of you get involved in that. Join in. And five of these children made professions of faith, kiddos. If you want to be baptized and your parents approve that, we can do that next Sunday. You need to bring a change of clothes and let us know. Wouldn't that be great to see? Next Lord's Day, we'll just see if God worked that out this week. And you that know these children and the ones that made professions of faith, let's see if we can work on that, okay? And there is something coming up the first Saturday in October. Once a year, our state convention, Arkansas Baptist State Convention, will pick a city and just overwhelm that city with ministry and missions work and things like that. And that's coming in Russellville, October 2nd. All kinds of ways you can take part. I'm going to be leading and taking part in the prayer walking part of it. I was in Russellville doing some training on that this week. There's going to be, they want at least 40 prayer teams to walk through that city before people are going to share the gospel with those neighborhoods. And there's all kinds of feeding and children's and washing cars and clothes and laundromats and block parties. There's all kinds of ministries all over the town. You could be involved in whatever floats your boat as far as being a missionary that day. You need to sign up this week. I think there is a list and a brochure about it right here on this little table. Is that right, James? But if you want to take part in that, this week is a time to sign up, because there is a meal that they provide for you, and they want to know who's coming for that kind of thing. Well, I want to share something today that I don't know of any subject that warms my heart more than what I'm going to talk to you about. It just stirs my soul and lifts my spirit and proves my attitude, puts a song in my heart. And I hope it'll do that for you today. It's about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Say that name with me. Jesus. That's a special name to God. Oh, it is. Mary was the first one to hear it. Then Joseph got to hear it. All of hell trembles when they hear that name. And all of heaven bows and prostrates themselves before the Lord. Thousands have died across the centuries with that name on their lips. Some are dying right now in Afghanistan with that name on their lips. I understand that there are about 6,500 spoken languages on planet Earth, over 6,000. And every one of those languages has hundreds, perhaps thousands of names they name their children. We do in our English language. And yet in all those languages and all those names, God chose one for the name of His Son coming to live among us. Say that name with me. Jesus' name. That's a family name. You know, when I'm out in public and I hear my name or my wife's name or my son's names, it catches my attention. I will turn if I hear those names, because my ear is tuned to those names. God's ear is tuned, open, sensitive to the name Jesus, because it's such a special name. I hope it is to you, and will be more special when we're through here today. It's a name we're supposed to pray in, number two. And when we pray in Jesus' name, that's not a magic word like abracadabra or something, or rubbing a rabbit's foot at the end of our prayer. It's everything to do with our promise to be heard by God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14. This is an amazing promise. Jesus said, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Do you think Jesus just overspoke there, or exaggerated, or was careless in saying that? He says, if you go to my Heavenly Father and ask, He's going to hear you. And for glorifying my Heavenly Father, He wants to answer that prayer. That promises that God's going to hear us. We're going to have an audience with God when we use His name in prayer. Here's another thing about the name of Jesus. It has everything to do with the righteousness of Jesus. In the Amplified Bible, if you were to look at the New Testament in the Amplified Bible, you know, they use a lot of synonyms in the Amplified Bible. They'll say a word that's found in usually King James, and then in parentheses have several words that could also be used to translate that. And this is interesting. Whenever you see the phrase "in Jesus' name" in the Amplified Bible, it will have in parentheses beside it, presenting all that He is. When we use the name of Jesus, we're presenting what Jesus is, not what we are. It's kind of like praying with a pointed finger. "Lord, I'm coming to You in Jesus' name, but here's the one that I'm coming. It's Him and His righteousness and who He is that I'm bringing before You and representing." I heard a pastor share a testimony about a bad day that he had. You know, pastors have bad days too. And this pastor said, "You know, I had a day recently where I overslept and I didn't have my morning quiet time with the Lord, and I was late getting to the office there at the church, and I just had one of those days. There was all kinds of problems and all kinds of paperwork and meetings and things, and it was just tiring and kind of frustrating. And then I got home and I was impatient with my family, had to apologize to them, and came to the end of the day, and I knew I just needed to go off by myself and pray. End of the day, and I got in there to pray, and I just couldn't pray. I just wasn't in the mood to pray. And he says it's as if the Lord had a conversation in my mind about where I was based on the day I had and my just not being in the mood to pray. Here's what he said the Lord said to me. "If you had gotten up at 6 o'clock this morning and had a couple hours of praying, reading your Bible, and you went out to minister all day long and shared the gospel with people and just helped people and just had a lot of responses. And tonight, what if you had preached in a stadium in a large crusade and hundreds came to faith in Christ? Do you think you'd feel like praying?" Well, this pastor said, "Sure, I'd feel like praying. I just really think I could pray then." And the Lord said this to him, "Then you're praying in Your name. You're praying based on the kind of day you had. And no matter what kind of day you have, your basis for coming to Me is the same. It's always in Jesus' name, presenting His righteousness, because you don't have any. On your best day or your worst day, you come in the same way. It's in Jesus' name." Here's another thing about Jesus' name. It is absolutely how we are saved. We are saved and go to heaven because of Jesus' name. Peter was preaching in Acts 4. Acts 4:12 says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus is the only name whereby we can be saved. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." In 1 Timothy 2, there is no Baptist name of any kind in that verse. There's only one name in that verse. Let me say it again. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, is between them to bring them together. There is an evangelism ministry that I've been involved with most of my pastorate where we're trained to use what is called the key question. And I don't know, I would say hundreds of times I have asked somebody, usually it's in their home or on their porch, I've asked them this question. "In your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes a person to go to heaven?" Now, it's not a very scientific survey, but in my own Greg Greenway years of asking that question, I would say 2/3 or 3/4 the time when I ask that question, the first thing out of a person's mouth is, "Well, you got to be a good person," or something like that. I want to tell you, if I asked somebody that question, and I don't know what your answer would be, but if the first thing out of your mouth is not something to do with faith or trust or belief and Jesus Christ in the same mouthful, you ought to be scared to death about your salvation. You will miss heaven if the first place in your heart and mind when you ask, "How do you go to heaven? How are you saved?" is not to go straight toward Jesus. Because Jesus is the only name and the only way any of us are going to find heaven or be saved or forgiven of our sin. Paul was ending his letters to the Corinthian church. He's writing this to Christians now. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Test yourselves, examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith. Unless you fail the test, unless you find that Jesus Christ is in you and you prove to be a reprobate," the King James says. In other words, you better find out before it's too late and test yourself and make sure Jesus is in you. If not, you're just an oh-sorry lost man. Friends, without Jesus in your life, Paul said this in 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Either you have Jesus and you have life now and eternally, or you've missed it. His is the only name. He's the only one that can do that for you. Do you have that? Are you sure Jesus is in your life? Number five, about Jesus' name. There's a day coming. Oh, when Jesus' name is going to be so important to the whole world. Listen to it. Paul described it in Philippians 2. This is Philippians 2:9. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father." Every time I read, think about that passage. And every time it seems like in recent years we see all the time a whole huge field of Muslims on their faces before their false god. And yet I don't see a lot of Christians doing that very often. And we have the only true God. We have the only reason to really bow and bend our knee. The day's going to come when everybody's going to do it. That's what it says here. Those even under the earth, on the earth, under the earth, in heaven, are going to bow their knee to Jesus and recognize that He is Lord. You know, there are things in the Bible like raising your hands and fasting and clapping and shouting and kneeling. Those are things, you find them in Scripture, people doing those. You see those in Christians' lives today. Those are things that you have to do from your heart or it doesn't mean anything. Isn't that right? If it's not in your heart to do that, It's just wasted. You don't do it to impress anybody else. You don't do it because somebody makes you. It's in your heart to do it. And that's what Philippians 2 describes. A day when everybody, when that time comes, will have it in their heart. Yep, Jesus is the Lord. His name is the only important name, the name that is above every other name. Jesus, blessed name. Finally, I think this is my favorite thing to talk about the name of Jesus, and I hope I can do it justice. When it comes to the name of Jesus, the reputation of Jesus is at stake. He has promised us some things about His name. He's given us His word. And if He doesn't keep His word, His credibility is no good. Ron Dunn is with the Lord now. He was always one of my favorite preachers. I traveled lots of miles over the years to hear Ron Dunn preach. Have several of his books in my library. Ron Dunn tells a wonderful story about the Sebastian County Fair. Anybody know where Sebastian County is? That's Fort Smith. Ron Dunn grew up in Fort Smith, and his family was there. And he says, "One time I was back for a family gathering and had my siblings there and all the grandkids were there and the parents, that kind of thing. And we were gathered together. And after a couple of days, the kids were driving the adults crazy." You know about that? They were so wiggly and noisy underfoot. And somebody said, "Well, you know, the Sebastian County Fair is going on down the road. Why don't we get the kids in the station wagon and take them down there and let them ride some rides, get them out of the house for a while?" And Ron Dunn said, I drew the short straw or something. So here I am driving down the road with a station wagon full of all my kids and their cousins all going to the Sebastian County Fair. And we went up to this booth when we got there and we bought a big old roll of tickets. And I started going from ride to ride, just handing out tickets to my little cousins and to my daughter and my son. And it says when we were on about the third ride, I was standing there and they're all lined up and I gave a ticket to a little cousin and to my daughter and to my son. And then I looked down there and there was a little boy holding up his hand I had never seen before in my life. "I pull that ticket back," he said. About that time, my son, who was already getting on the ride, came back and says, no, Daddy, this is so-and-so. And he said his name. I met him on the other ride, and I told him if he'd come get in line with us, you'd give him a ticket. Ron Dunn said, what do you think I did? I gave that little boy a ticket. Not because of who he was. Not because of anything he'd done. But because my son had promised him. My son had given him his word. And he got on that ride due to no good of his own. Friend, that's the way we're going to heaven. That's the way we're saved. That's the way we live our life. We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it. Solely because of the name of Jesus and his promise to us that we pray, that we're saved, that we're forgiven. You sing with me? Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, I don't plan to wait till that day in Philippians 2, Paul described, when everybody above the earth, on the earth, under the earth are going to bend their knee to the name of Jesus, recognize he is the Lord. I want to do that now. I want to do it all the time. Right now I want to do that. I just want to say it as we end this service before we have a time of invitation. If it's in your heart to do so, and you're physically able, could we take a couple of minutes and just go to our knees, either here at the altar or there in the seat where you are, recognizing Jesus as the name above every other name, the name to which our knees bows, and that he is the Lord? As Jerusalem plays, if that's in your heart to do that, would you do that right now? Say that name again with me, Jesus. Would you say with me, Jesus, is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say with me, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And can you say He's your Savior? Are you sure He is? You'll miss heaven without Jesus. His name is how we're saved, and He must be in your life, or you won't have life now, and you won't have life eternally in heaven. Oh, Jesus, You have a lovely name. We love Your name. Thank You for letting us live in a land where we hear Your name. And we don't want to ever use Your name carelessly, but we use Your name now to pray and ask You to meet us here, to draw us to Yourself. I pray for these children, Lord, that every one of them be saved and born again and grow up to love You and follow You as disciples. Lord, I even pray for these children You'll call pastors and missionaries and deacons and worship leaders right here from this church that will serve You in the years and decades to come, and if You tarry and don't return till then. But we long for You to return. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and if you feel inclined and drawn to publicly respond in any way, you come do that. Come give your life to Christ. If Jesus is your Savior, you've never been baptized, you're living in disobedience to Jesus. It's His will that you publicly confess Him as your Savior and be baptized in obedience to Him. It's the right thing to do, to be a righteous and obedient disciple of Jesus. Now let's sing, and you come in any way God leads you. This is Albert Bloom, and he came up to me and took my hand. He says, I want to tell you, God is calling me to preach. Isn't that something? How old are you, Albert?
47.
47.
A little late in the
years. That's okay. I was 36 when God called me to preach and pastored my first church when I was 40. And I went to Southside Baptist Church in Stuttgart when I was 47, stayed there 21 years. Preaching, but God has a spot for you. How many sermons you got?
Oh, three right now.
All right. When I was shortly after being called to preach, a friend asked me to preach a revival in Lamar, Missouri. And I went up there, and I didn't have but four or five sermons. I ended up preaching 11 times that week. Started out, went up there. God has some stuff like that for you. Amen. I hope this church will give you some chance to practice on them, because that's how you get better. You just got to do it. It's kind of like riding a bicycle, and they pray for you. Isn't that wonderful? I'm honored that I got to stand here and hear that. You rejoice in that? Amen. Amen. I want us to sing another verse. I just think the Lord's here today. I really do. And these precious children. Some of you children, if Jesus became your Savior this week, come up here and let us tell the church that. Just openly let them know that that happened. And let them see who you are. That you're following Him. You're not ashamed to. And if somebody's here and you have other some public response, come right now. Let's sing. And you step here with us, Albert, and let's sing another verse. And if God has something, He wants you up here, come up. Let's tell these dear, sweet people. You're among people that love you. Going to pray for you, support you. This is a family. This is a family time. Amen. In church much before, and they don't know how to do it. That's all right, isn't it? But two of those five children, Noah and Mallory, got up the nerve to at least get to the front row and gave me permission to tell you that they trusted Christ as their Savior in Bible school this week. And, amen. Isn't that precious? Oh, praise the Lord. How old are you? How old are you, Mallory? How old are you? Nine. How old are you, Noah? Nine. I was 8 years old when I did that, and it stuck. Got my pastor baptized me a week or two later, and hopefully these children will get to do that. Pray for them and their parents, that their parents will support this. Boy, I've got three grandsons, and one is nine, and I know privately I think the oldest one has trusted Jesus as his Savior, but when I get word they're going to be baptized in Waco, Texas, I'm gone. I'm going to be down there. That's the way we all feel about our kids and grandkids coming to Christ. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And so I don't know if they're going to get baptized next Sunday, but look out if that happens in Waco, Texas. What? All right. All right.
Y'all are putting me on the spot.
On the spot. Okay. Say praise the Lord with me. Amen. Amen. And it's just good. Those children, it seemed like 90% of the children I had in my church in Stuttgart, parents never came. And these kids didn't know how to behave in church until we showed them and taught them and sat with them. And it was just noisy and messy all over the church. And I call that blessed chaos. I mean, that's what we got to have. I mean, I hope adults, I hope your attitude is we're dead without that. These children run around here and just love them and hug them, try to get them to sit still, but you're not going to do it. I mean, sharing gospel with most children is like hitting a moving target. You know, you just do the best you can and rejoice in it. Well, thank you. God's so good. And isn't Jesus' name precious? First time I learned some of the truths I shared with you all today, I just wanted to run off by myself and get on my knees and use that name. Friends, that name gets God's attention. And I hear people pray sometime and they don't even use God's name and they don't use Jesus' name in their prayers. Why would you do that? Jesus said, I'm John 14, I read, when you pray, use my name. He said it twice in those verses I read you. And my Father will hear you. I mean, I guarantee you he's going to be there and hear you if you use my name. Now, Greg won't do it for you. Don't use Greg's name. He just no sinner like you are. We need the name of Jesus, don't we? All right. Well, let's sing our benediction. Thank you for being here. Albert, thank you for coming. God bless you.
All VBS kids and family and our church family that wants to join, there's plenty of food down there. I think some of the people have already slipped out to serve. So make your way down to the gym and eat lunch with us and the VBS kids and their families. We'd love to have you. So we're going to sing this and we'll be dismissed. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you.